This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. To Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi, S-C-I-F-I, because it's part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, you can call to deliberatenoise.com. All right, I'm looking at my notes here. I've been watching Doctor Who, which is really weird because, well, it's not weird that I'm watching it because I've seen every episode since Rose, you know. I've been watching it ever since then, and I've been trying to watch some of the older ones on Netflix streaming, although they don't have a lot of Sylvester McCoy, and he was my second favorite Doctor. My favorite is, of course, like a lot of people, is Tom Baker, but then it was Sylvester McCoy. And now in third place, I would have to say, I don't know, I guess tied for second would be Tennant. Because I forgot how much I liked Christopher Eccleston, you know? And I really liked him. However, when David Tennant took over, I realized I liked him even more. And although I do like Matt Smith, I still think about David Tennant in the role, you know. Anyway, yeah, this so far this season that they're continuing the mystery of Clara. And for some reason, you know, if it was anybody else, I'd call her Clara, but it's Clara, you know. And I felt like an asshole saying that, you know, when Patty asked me, "Who was it, Steven?" Somebody said, "Who was that?" And I was like, "That's Clara." And I felt like, that's such a, that's, whenever an English speaker tries to roll his R's to pronounce Spanish words or say good day, mate, to do some Australian accent type deal, or if you say Clara instead of Clara, I just think, you know, you pretentious douchebag. And in this case, the douchebag is I. Is me. Anyway, it's really weird now that I'm watching it because a lot of people like Clara because for some reason they did not like Amy and Rory. Which, to tell you the truth, I liked Amy and Rory. They're probably my favorite of the of the companions since they came back, because, you know, Rose Tyler, I liked her, but it was always like, you know, the relationship she had with the Doctor degenerated from, hey, let's go hang out, to, oh, I'm in love with you, you know. And then they had Martha Jones, and it was like love at first sight, and I was like, ugh, really? Oh, you know, Donna Noble, she was brilliant. Yeah, I really liked Donna Noble because she was so irritating in the beginning. And then at the end of her story, I was like, oh, wow, you know, I'm going to miss her. But I really liked the Ponds. And a lot of people didn't, you know, and you heard a lot. I heard a lot of complaining about them. About how they, especially Amy, about how she always seemed to save the day. And I'm thinking to myself, did you totally miss the first season with Rose? You know, or are you missing what Clara's doing now? I mean, they're not doing anything that hasn't been done by, by a companion before. Neither did Amy. This is what the companion does. The companion gets into trouble. The doctor gets them out of trouble. The doctor gets in trouble. The companion gets him out of trouble. It's what happens. It's what always has happened. Anyway, on a lot of the comment sections, and on a lot of social media that I've seen, there's a lot of people who are putting forth their theories on who Clara Oswald really is. There's a lot of people who think that she's Romana or Tegan, or Susan, you know, the doctor's granddaughter. Hopefully, I hope she's none of these and she's a all new character, you know. But if she's not, all I know is she's not Leela. All right. And she better not be Sarah Jane. You know, because to me, that would be really distasteful, you know. But I really hope that they start driving some more obvious clues, because I was watching, you know, because, you don't know. But my son, Steven, is starting to get into Doctor Who, and his favorite is Eccleston. So we've been watching a lot of those episodes. And now that I know about Bad Wolf, I can see the Bad Wolf things, you know. I can, you know, hear him in the background and stuff like that. But that was like really, with the exception of the spray paint, most of it was a little too subtle for my brain damaged self. That's what I'm getting the feeling from this season, is that they're dropping hints, but I'm just too obtuse to see them. You know, I'm just too dense. I can't. But hopefully they also haven't just solved, you know, they're probably going to wait till the season finale to reveal what's going on with her. But I hope they really haven't get to it, because I'm starting to get bored with the whole concept that there is a mystery. You know, they're not progressing it at all. It's just all of a sudden something will happen. He goes, "Who are you? This is a mystery." And it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, will you stop it already? One thing I do like about it, ever since she came on, is they keep switching time settings each episode. It's like, you know, it's set in current time, and it's set in the recent past, and it's set in the future, and it's back to the recent past, and then it's over to the current past. And it's just like, I like that better than, you know, spending so many stories in one of them, you know, because I like how they see the future, but I don't want to see like three or four episodes of them in the future, right? I like seeing how the doctor solves things that are set today, but I don't want to see three or four episodes in them. I personally do not like the Victorian England type stories, Victorian age type stories. They bug me for some reason. I just don't like them at all. But because it's so much a part of Clara's mystery, I'm not being as harsh on it as I could. Plus, I also like that that crew, the lizard lady, her companion, and that alien who looks like a thumb. I can't remember any of their names. And I swear that each time I see them, their episode feels like a backdoor pilot for their own show, you know? And it would make sense to me, cause they spun off, Captain Jack, who is a much different character when you go back and watch, was it The Empty Child? But if you watch that, and to what Captain Jack became, it's kind of weird. There's, anyway, and when they spun off Sarah Jane, they gave her a little adventure to see how well it would be received, I suppose. And with this one, they've given them two so far. So unless they're going to be like River Song-like characters who just show up, you know, pretty much hijack the show, but they're not going to get their own spinoff. I don't know why you would do that with three new characters, you know. And speaking of River Song, with the 11th Doctor making all these goo-goo eyes at Clara, isn't he still married? Because I'm pretty sure they got married in, what was it, the wedding of River Song? I don't know, but I thought they were married, you know. Anyway. Now, there's another show that comes on afterward called Orphan Black, and that show is pretty much all mystery about the clones and who's after them, and I like it. You know, I think that it's really obvious, if you've been paying even halfway attention, which one of them is the original. Hint, hint, it's the one with the baby. Right? And hopefully they get away from a lot of the crime stuff and more into like pseudo fringe science type stuff that I was kind of expecting when I first heard about this. You know, when I first heard about the show, I thought, okay, this is going to like fill the gap where Fringe left off with some really, tripped out craziness. But no, it's been pretty much, sort of a crime drama. Like the first episode, they gave you pretty much a setup that could have been out of almost any kind of detective novel, right? You know, you have a what looks like an exact duplicate killing herself right in front of you. So then, boom, that's how it kicks off. But then it was until they said, okay, hey, guess what? Yeah, there are more of us, you know, and there are like up to 9 of them, which is cool because that would mean that the original, hint, hint, is, would make 10. And that works for me. Cause the young lady who does the acting of the clone, she does a really good job of making each one of those characters seem like a different person and not just the same person doing, you know, dressing different, doing different things. They all have like little mannerisms. Some of them have like ship nail polish. Others have immaculate nail polish. I mean, it's little details like that. You know, there's one where one of them has a scar in the back of her neck and, you know, the others don't. And I thought that that was really cool little touches. You know, I like the way this is going. All right. And then there's another show that comes on after those two. I refuse to watch it. I remember a lot of people saying that Olivia Munn just seemed like a fake geek girl. And don't get me started on the whole concept of a fake geek girl. But if there is such thing as a fake geek girl, there's a fake geek guy, and that guy seems like it to me. He might not be, he could be the biggest nerd there is, but there's something very artificial about him. He seems like a clone. Let's see how it all works out. Anyway, hold on a quick second. All right, sorry about that. I'm pretty sure you did not want, I don't know if you can hear my dishwasher going in the background, but I'm pretty sure you don't want to hear my dogs barking at the mailman as well. And I saw him coming. So anyway, yeah. I saw Prometheus, which was on my, to do in the future list, and I thought it was okay. You know, through most of the movie, I was wondering why they kept calling it, you know, a prequel to the Alien franchise, because although it seemed that it was being set in a similar universe, it didn't seem it was set in an exact universe, because this whole thing was them funding a mission to go find aliens, you know, so that means somebody on Earth already knew that aliens existed, and I got the impression that the aliens and Alien, you know, going forward nobody knew. This was like some great big discovery that they had come across. And so that's why they sent her back in the second movie, Aliens, to try and, you know, basically gather more intel. But if somebody had already done this, then what the hell, man? You know? And if it did happen, and there was this place where this big major space expedition happened and nobody came back alive, why would you make that part of a shipping route, you know? I mean, that's basically what was going on in Alien. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird, right? But it just also didn't seem, you know, those things just didn't add up. And the whole thing didn't add up until the very last, 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, okay. I get it now. Really, it was kind of pretty weak. Build up to that one scene. And they're like, they're still like, how did she cut herself open and still was able to walk around in relatively no pain? Realize this is all cauterization and lasers and stuff like that, but come on now. She should have at least had some sort of muscle damage. I'm like, oh. And at the end, I'm not going to spoil it, but there was one character who was, there was something falling. I'm just going to say that. There was something falling, and I've never understood why they do this in movies, but people tried to outrun it instead of like running over to a side. I've never understood that. And that just seems weird. But to me, the biggest unanswered question is, why in the world would you hire Guy Pearce to be in your movie and then hide him under a bunch of makeup? That makes no sense to me. Were there really absolutely no elderly actors available? You know? I mean, it probably would have changed the way that the character was accepted, but James Garner's still alive. So's Abe Vigoda. You know? Put one of those guys out there. Find somebody old and menacing if you want to. Why take Guy Pearce? Because, you know, when I saw Guy Pearce in all that makeup, I thought, okay, well, then he's going to get some sort of, like, Fountain of Youth type thing. He's going to be young again. And nope. That was not what happened. It's like, oh. Okay. Anyway, so Prometheus, if you're an Alien fan, like I am, a fan of the Alien franchise, I would skip this movie simply because it makes no sense knowing what comes next. You know, and that's the problem with doing prequels. You know, people already know what's going to happen next. So if you introduce something that doesn't make sense, like, you know, Obi-Wan forgetting that he used to hang out with two droids, you know, then people are going to call you on it, or they're just going to, like, disregard the prequel. You know, now if you haven't seen any Alien movies and you just heard about them and you're that young and, go see it. You might like it. You might have a greater, you probably will have a greater appreciation than I did. I thought it was okay. Even though she was the focal point of the movie, I really didn't think they gave Noomi Rapace a lot of stuff to do. No, her character really didn't stand out to me. You know, even Charlize Theron's character, she just seemed like a cold piece of work, you know? I don't get it. And the male characters, they could have all been pretty much interchangeable. Even the great Idris Elba. And, of course, what's his name? Guy Pearce would have been different with the makeup. And Idris Elba was, of course, the black guy. I don't know. It's weird because he also had an appreciation for pretty much classical music. And I say this because it was Stephen Stills, which really isn't like the most popular pop culture references you can make today. But in what is this movie supposed to have taken place in, what, 2074? Something like that. It would be like me making a Scott Joplin reference, you know? It's, okay. You know, okay. This came out like almost 100 years ago, if you say so. Anyway, so going forward, there are three things that I have on my to-do list. I'm reading The Utopiates, which is a graphic novel from Zero One Publishing. Now, a lot of times when you have subject matter of people doing drugs and gaining some sort of abilities, or they basically, they're born and they find out they have this ability to separate them from other people. It's really just a superhero story without the costume, you know. It's what Buffy the Vampire Slayer is. That's pretty much what Grimm is. It's superheroes without costumes, right? Without actual super... Well, you know, those guys actually have super villains. Utopias isn't like that. This seems more like something that Philip K. Dick would have come up with, you know, if he was coming up today, you know. And that's all I'm gonna say, because I haven't read all of it. I've read the first little part of it, and that's just the impression I get, you know. It's this science fiction goodness, not just superheroes with no clothes, without no costume. I'm also still have a Fear Agent on the pile. In fact, I think this is, no, there's still one more comic book ahead of it, because there are two separate piles I have. I have one for graphic novels, which are original novels, and then there's one that is trade paperbacks, which are, collections of what were individual issues. Now they put all into one trade collected, one collection, collect comics library. Anyway, that's a trade paperback by Rick Remender and Tony Moore. So, you know, if you're watching TV, if you're not a comic book reader and you're watching TV and you see somebody talking about a graphic novel, 9 times out of 10, they're talking about a comic book or they're talking about a trade paperback. You know, if somebody says that they're working on a graphic novel and it's a pamphlet type deal, magazine type deal, it's a comic book. Don't worry about it. Anyway, and the last thing is Annihilation Conquest Star-Lord. This is a comic book. This is actually individual issues of a miniseries. I think it's like a 4-issue miniseries, something like that. And once again, totally separate pile. So yes, I have one for graphic novels, for trades, and for comic books, as well as books, bookie books, and electronic books. They all have different piles. In fact, my I had a flood in my basement, and I had to move a bunch of stuff around, including my bookie books. So that's, they're all out of order now. So I don't know what's coming up next. I don't know. It ticks me off. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I will be back soon with another episode. I'm gonna go to the beach.